Our secret sermon bag also talks about the same thing that we're going to be talking about tonight in our Bible study in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, where Peter continues to talk about suffering. I suppose if I were to ask everybody that is perfect, please raise your hand. And I think we might not have a lot of hands going up, because we recognize that we still have so much to learn. In fact, someone has said, if you find a perfect church, don't join it, because you'll ruin it. Because we recognize we still have a lot to know, a lot to learn, and a lot of ways to grow. We know that one day we will be perfect. One day we will be sinless, because God is working on us, and He is bringing us to perfection and bringing us to maturity. And so that's what Peter is talking about here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. This is a very familiar portion because we use it many times for a benediction. And we read 1 Peter 5:10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Father, we thank You for Your word. Pray that You'd bless it tonight as we learn from it the ways that You are working to make us like the Lord Jesus, whom we love. In His name we pray. Amen. We see here several things about Christian perfection, God's working in our lives to make us like the Lord Jesus. And the first thing we see in this portion is that God is the source of Christian perfection. He is the one who is doing it. And that's what it says, that he might make you perfect, the God of all grace. After you've suffered a while, make you perfect. And so God is the one that is doing it. We aren't doing it ourselves. We aren't perfecting ourselves. This wall plaque didn't decide that it was going to make itself a wall plaque. I had to do it. And so also, we can't perfect ourselves. God is the one who has to perfect us. He's the one that does the job. And we read here that it says very clearly that He will make you perfect. So He is the source. And we see several things about that. First of all, it is His grace that enables it. The God of all grace make you perfect. Grace means His willingness and His ability. You know, sometimes there are people that could help us, but they don't want to. And so as a result, we don't get any help. And there are other people sometimes that want to help us, and they can't. And so we still don't get any help. But the wonderful thing is that God's grace means that He's not only willing, but He is able. He wants to and He can. His grace means then that He will perfect us. We don't have the strength or the ability to help ourselves, but He can and will perfect us. Romans 5:8 says, "While we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly." And so He is the one that perfects us. And the word here refers to the mending of nets. Also, it's used, for example, in the Gospels, where the disciples were mending their fishing nets. Sometimes the nets would get torn, and there'd be holes in the net. And, of course, the fish would just swim right through then, and they wouldn't get caught. And so the fishermen would very carefully mend those nets, mend all the holes, so that it would be a perfect net, perfect in that there'd be no holes in it. And so also, God is perfecting us and mending us that we might be perfect, that we might be complete or entire or whole. And so His grace enables it. Secondly, His calling assures it. We find that the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory. Salvation is a calling. It isn't merely that that He accepts us or that He receives us. He does. But salvation is referred to as a calling. He calls us. Just like the laborers were called and given their wages in Matthew chapter 20. In fact, in 1 Peter, five times, Peter refers to salvation as a calling in chapter 1 and verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. In chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In chapter 2 and verse 21 also, for even hereunto were you called. And in chapter 3 and verse 9, we read, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that thereunto ye are called. And then here also in chapter 5 and verse 10, we read the same thing, the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory. And so salvation is a calling. God calls us, and we respond to his call. And the purpose of this calling is holiness, who hath called us unto his eternal glory, that he might make us perfect. And so he's called us that he might perfect us, that he might make us like the Lord Jesus, that he might make us complete according to his purpose. Just like when a mother will go to a material store, and she will look at the material and she will say, I want 3 yards of this material. She has in her mind what she's going to do. She's going to make something. And she knows just how much she needs and what she's going to use it for. And so also, God, who called us, has a plan and a purpose, and he's going to perfect that, and he's going to make exactly what he wants made. And that's why Philippians 1:6 says, he that hath begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will perfect it, he will complete it, just the way he planned. The children of Israel, the nation of Israel, were brought out of the land of Egypt. And we're told that he brought them out that he might bring them in. He didn't just decide, oh, I think I'll pull them out of the land of Egypt, without knowing what he was going to do. No. He brought them out of the land of Egypt because he knew that he was going to bring them into the land of Canaan, the land of blessing. And so God is the source of our perfection. His grace enables it, and his calling assures it. He knows just what he's going to do. Thirdly, his son purchased it. And Peter here says that the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory, by Christ Jesus, or in Christ Jesus. And so Jesus is the one who purchased our salvation. He purchased our complete salvation. Not just from the penalty of sin, he did that, but also from the power of sin, and ultimately from the presence of sin. He purchased our complete salvation because God is going to finish the work that he starts. This week I received a magazine in the mail, and I was shocked as I read the title of one of the articles in that magazine. That title said, Lordship Salvation, a Perversion of the Gospel. And I thought, oh no. Jesus must be our Lord if he's going to do the job that he wants to do in our lives. And so salvation isn't merely believing. Salvation is making him Lord of our lives. Christ purchased a complete salvation. And, you know, if you are not interested in the power to overcome sin, then I don't believe you know anything about the forgiveness from the penalty of sin. Because when we are forgiven of the penalty of our sins, we also have a desire to be freed from the power of our sins. Jesus purchased your perfection, not just your pardon. And so as we come to him, and ask Him to forgive us for running our own lives, we also ask Him to take over our lives, that He might then perfect the work that He wants to do in our lives. And then fourthly, not only did He purchase it, but He Himself will do it. We read, "The God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect." And right where that comma is, "after you have suffered a while," there's another word. I don't know why our translators didn't put it in there. Maybe it makes it a little more difficult English, but you go to the Greek and there's another word there, and it's the word autos, and it means Himself. He Himself. And so we put that in there, and it says that after you have suffered a while, He Himself make you perfect. He's the one that's going to do it. You know, if it were our job, we might get tired and really not finish the job. In fact, we don't have the strength to do it anyway. He is the one who's going to take personal charge of doing it. He Himself is committed to doing it. And so as we come to Him, repenting of our sin, trusting Him as our Savior, we have the assurance He's going to do the whole job. He Himself is going to perfect that which He has started. And so we come to Him and we trust Him day by day, and we wait upon Him day by day to do the job that He has begun. He is going to perfect us. And so God is the source of Christian perfection. Secondly, suffering is the means of Christian perfection. And we saw in our secret sermon bag tonight that this piece of wood had to go through a lot of cutting and sanding and being alone while it dries from its shellacking in order to become what I wanted it to be. And so also, there's suffering involved if we're going to be what God wants us to be. And Peter says very clearly, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect." And so there is suffering involved. And sometimes we would like to say, "Ouch." Sometimes we would like to say, "That hurts. God, that hurts." But God is making for Himself a very special treasure as we place ourselves in His hands and He accomplishes in our lives His eternal purposes. And as we talked this morning about some of the Russian believers and how they suffer, we recognize that we really don't suffer that much. I was reading in one of the magazines, The Sword and Trowel, that I mentioned to you is on the back table, the harassment that some of the believers go through there. Pastor Rydikoff has returned home. Pastor Rydikoff is now 54 years of age and has spent a total of 10 years in prison. His most recent sentence of 2 years was for being supported by his church during the 6 months freedom that followed his previous 3-year sentence. Now that he has returned home, he is under administrative surveillance for 1 year and is not allowed to leave his house between 8 p.m. and 8 a.m. The police may carry out checks at any time they wish. 3 months ago, they forced their way into his home about 1 o'clock in the morning. They found his whole family gathered together, including their son, who was married last April and was visiting them with his wife and some friends. Pastor Rydikoff was taken to the police headquarters, where he was fined and warned that he was not allowed to have strangers in his home on the grounds that he might entice them into his beliefs. His son and sister that were visiting spent Easter Sunday in prison this year. On the Saturday night before Easter, there was a very loud knock on the door of their house. Being familiar with such knocks, they were used to these real loud knocks on the door. And being familiar with those loud knocks since early childhood, they did not respond. The militia, therefore, attempted to break down the door. They couldn't do that, and so they broke a window, and they got in through a window. And then they began to search the house. Then they came to a door of a room that was locked, and they smashed that open. And there were several women visitors there who were attempting to sleep. And the soldiers or the police shouted out, "We have the right to do anything we want to." And they arrested seven people and took them away. He was threatened with all kinds of things that could happen to him. He could, for example, be killed in a car accident. For failing to open the door of the house, they were all fined 20 rubles. Since his release, the whole family has endured much harassment, and every member values the prayers of God's people that they may stand firm through all the difficulties and pressures. And so we see that God is making some very special, precious things there in Soviet Russia as he allows his people to suffer such terrible things. And when suffering comes into our lives, we have to recognize this is what God is doing. God is making something very special out of us. And Peter says that you might suffer for a while. And praise the Lord, it's only for a little while. You know, what is 1 year or 10 years or even 50 years compared to eternity? It's just like a drop in the bucket. You have a great big bucket and you take an eyedropper and you go to that bucket, and with that eyedropper you put in one drop of water. Then you have to look in the bucket and try and find out where that water went to. Such a little bit in there. And so also our lives are just like a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. And so we suffer just for a little while. And God then uses that to perfect us and make us what he wants us to be for all eternity. And so the third thing is that permanency is the goal. He is perfecting us. Now, if you draw a picture, for example, and it turns out real well, you did a real good job, you like to save that picture, don't you? Or maybe you make a painting, or maybe you make something out of wood, and it turns out real well, and you like to save that. The better it turns out, the more you want to save it. Something that didn't turn out very good, why, you don't care about. But if it really turns out good, you want to keep it. And so also, God is perfecting those who trust in the Lord Jesus. And he is making them perfect because he is going to keep them forever. And so his goal is permanency. He wants to keep us forever as we trust in him. And so he's perfecting us that he might keep us, and that we might, then we find he might establish us, he might strengthen us, he might settle us. You know, the devil brings all of these things into our lives, and the Lord lets him do it. But the devil has the purpose of causing us to hate God, or to curse God, or to criticize God. That's what the devil wants. But God allows these things for our good. And so isn't it amazing? These things that come into our lives that maybe we don't like, we say, "God, I don't like this." The devil wants us to leave God and to get away from God. And God says, "I'm using those things to make you stronger." I read a very good quotation from Bengel in John Brown's commentary, the Puritan. He says, "He shall perfect you that no defect may remain. He shall establish you that you may be guilty of no backsliding. He shall strengthen you that you may overcome every adverse power. And thus he shall settle you, establish you more firmly than ever on the foundation by those very means which were intended to remove you from that foundation." Isn't that wonderful? The very things that Satan would want to use to get you off that solid foundation of Christ Jesus are the things that God uses to settle you and make you stronger right on that foundation. And the reason is, you are for keeps. If God has begun a good work in you, he is going to perfect it. And finally, God's glory is the result. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. There's a beautiful portion of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 1 that talks about the way God is preparing for His glory those who are in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 6, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him," there you have it again, chosen, "before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him." There you have His purpose, He's perfecting us. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace." There's His purpose that He is accomplishing in us. "To Him be glory and praise, dominion and power." In other words, He has the power everlastingly to secure us in His hands. That's what John says in John chapter 10, verses 27 and on. "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father who gave them to Me is more powerful than all, and nobody is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand." Isn't that wonderful? And so the devil is a roaring lion, says Peter, wants to devour everybody he can. Praise God, He has an everlasting purpose, and He is making out of you, if you belong to Him, He is making something special, something perfect, that He will keep forever and forever. And so the things that you make continue to witness, bear testimony to your ability. And God, with what He is doing in the lives of His people, is making that which will be to His everlasting praise. The redeemed are an everlasting witness then to the kindness and the power of God. And so God is perfecting His people. Do you belong to Him tonight? Are you His? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? If you belong to Him, then recognize that there are going to come difficult times. Times that are cutting. Times that are rough. But God has a purpose to make you like the Lord Jesus for His praise forever and ever. Father, we thank You for the good purposes that You have for us. And that the Lord Jesus on the cross not only purchased freedom from the penalty of sin, that we might be forgiven, but also purchased freedom from the power of sin, that we might overcome, and that we might be made like our Savior, that we might be to Your eternal praise. And so even this week, as things come into our lives that are difficult, things that are cutting, things that are hard, we pray that we might remember what You're doing, that we might praise You. We thank You for the instruction of Your word. In Jesus' name, amen.